Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And what is the good thing that Jesus goes announcing? The glad tidings of the kingdom of God coming, the kingdom of God present with them in his person. And in his preaching, the message can be pretty much gleaned from what we've seen so far. The forgiveness of sins. We need to recognize our sins, repent, and we will be forgiven. And I tell you, some people think that repentance is almost unnecessary. And I tell you, it is absolutely necessary. That's what kept the Pharisees out, is their unwillingness to recognize their own sinfulness. Do you know you're a sinner? You can be forgiven your sins. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there were many women who followed with Christ. Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. That's all that's ever said. She wasn't Mary the whore. She was crazy Mary. Mary the devil possessed. We should strive to be accurate. We shouldn't say things about people. You know, it'd be like saying, oh, Peter, he was gay, you know. And you say, well, Paul, that's a little out of line. Well, don't you think it's a little out of line to say some woman was a former prostitute or something of that nature, and it isn't true? Nothing against former prostitutes. But do former prostitutes want to be labeled former hypocrites? Or do former prostitutes want to be labeled former drug users if they weren't? I mean, why have things laid on you that you weren't guilty of? It's one thing if it comes from the wicked. So I think all that sort of presumption about Mary Magdalene is ridiculous, because there's no evidence. It's just based on, I think, it's based on basically a fascination with her name. Mary Magdalene, that sounds so exotic or something. I don't know. It's just bizarre. The way, and it comes from tradition of the Catholic Church. So consider the source. Verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9, And his disciples asked him, saying, What might these parables be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. This most important of parables teaches us so much, and so much of the meaning is lost. I mean, just the plain things Jesus says in the explanation are way over the heads of people. You know, a lot of people take a legalistic view of Romans 10 verse 9. If you will confess with your lips and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you know, that God raised him from the dead, confess with your lips that he's Lord, oh, you're going to be saved. And I figure, great. There was one day I went down the aisle and I confessed the Lord Jesus. And I think, that's it. I'm saved now forever. That's it. That one singular act made me a saved person forever. As it says of those who swim on the rock, they immediately receive the word with joy. There are all kinds of people that receive Christ. There are all kinds of people that receive the gospel with joy. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. But their faith does not endure. If their faith does not endure, their salvation is of no effect. There is no salvation. Salvation comes from God. God is the author of salvation. I do not author my own salvation when I say, God, I believe in you. I confess your name. You rose from the dead. I believe it in my heart. That doesn't make me saved. I cannot do anything to save myself. Well, Jesus made a sacrifice and you take hold of it. I can't even do that to save myself. Well, what do you mean? Well, look, a lot of people have heard the gospel and they can't save themselves. Well, they're stubborn. Well, why are they stubborn like that? Well, they don't want to believe. Why don't they want to believe? There are some people I know who do want to believe, but find they can't. They just can't believe it. I'd really like to believe all this, but I just can't. Like, they really would like to believe in Christianity. They may even understand somewhat of it. And they probably do. That's why they want to believe. And they find they can't believe. I can't believe it. Because it isn't given to them to believe it. Now, maybe God will change things for them that they will believe. Because I don't know the end from the beginning. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen next month. And I don't consider myself a good judge of soils. But these are facts about the way people receive the Word of God, about the way God's Word comes to people. And even in the telling of the parable, it is a parable to itself. He tells a parable about how some people can't receive the Word. And the very telling of a parable is another way in which he prevents some people from hearing the word. They want to know what the parables are, and he says, to you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To you it is given to know. It is given where? From your own heart? From your own desire? If you have any heart or desire to know God's word and to believe it, it is because God from above has given you that desire. He's put it in you. By virtue of a blessing, or by virtue of the way you were created.